We've had three or four. We've had, I think, two monstrous answers today. This is one of them. And certainly this is. So we weren't necessarily looking for the best song. We were looking for the song most closely associated with the movie. And this is very much associated with The Bodyguard. And Lose Yourself, of course, you know, directly tied into 8 Mile. So both, to me, the two best answers so far. There's one or two others I can think of that could give them a run.
I have one definitive one for sure.
I have one that is so for sure. It would be right amongst them. All right. Speaking of trying to award prizes as we give away tickets and have some fun with some random topics on our show, we need to award the prizes from Friday. Prize from Friday, which again, are Sandler tickets. Now, we talked about putting in a poll form today, but let's just have John, who was not here on Friday, and Rhea, I believe you were not here on Friday, right?
Yep, I was off.
And James, you were here, right?
I was here, yeah.
All right, because it gets so confusing. Summertime, we miss some shows sometimes. So,
obviously, I didn't make a big impression on you on Friday, but
clearly.
All right, John and Rhea, you two have to decide the winning answer for. Oh, speaking of winning, I want to show everybody on YouTube. This is the golf ball.
Wow, you brought it with you.
This is the golf ball. And my hope is for tomorrow to have some kind of mechanism for which, like, maybe I put it right on the microphone.
Oh, you know, yeah. Just, there it is.
I got, you know, like, somehow.
I like that.
I got to have some kind of contraption that just holds the ball up in the air for YouTube. All right. So we got to come up with a winning answer for. John, you and Rhea, for a great moment in a movie or a show when a character realizes something.
Oh, okay.
So it's a moment when a character realizes something.
The light bulb goes off.
Light bulb goes off.
Got it.
All right, here we go. In the order that they came in, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, we have 7. I'm going to give you the top 7.
Best moment when a character realizes something.
Here we go. Star Wars, the second one, Luke realizes Darth Vader is his father. Although he's screaming no, so he doesn't totally realize it, but it's a major reveal. Okay. Next, we have in Goodfellas, when Tommy thinks he's about to be a made man, he walks into the empty room. It's a shabby-looking room. He says, oh, no. He knows he's about to get whacked. He gets killed from behind. Goodfellas. Next, we have from The Wizard of Oz, when Dorothy wakes up in her bed and realizes it was just a dream. Next, we have in the movie 7, when Brad Pitt realizes that the love of his life's head is in the box.
What's in the box?
Box.
What's in the box?
Yes. All right. That's a big one.
My bad.
Next. Next, the end of The Sixth Sense.
Oh.
Another major one.
But as a character recognizes.
Yeah, that he's dead.
He realizes that he's dead.
The character is, he's recognizing.
Yeah, Bruce Willis realizes that he's dead. All right, next. Now, you guys have to help me out on the specifics. I wrote down Fight Club. Who realizes what with Fight Club?
I don't want to ruin it for you.
No, it's okay. You can say
Tyler, they realize that they're one person, that it's Brad Pitt and Ed Norton are the same person.
Gotcha. See, I saw it once. Don't even remember that. Okay. So, John, is that a big answer?
Oh, my gosh. That's the whole gist.
Okay. And then finally, we have from Godfather 2, when Michael realizes Fredo has betrayed him, which I guess is in the scene when they're in the club in Hawaii.
In
Cuba.
That is absolutely where it
is. He's talking about Johnny Ola.
Yep, and he hears him and see Michael's
Ola
face.
Old Man Roth and Johnny Ola.
Yep.
All right, those 7. Rhea.
Johnny Ola, played by Junior Soprano.
That's correct.
Yeah.
I only knew that about a year ago. I found that out. Rhea, which of those 7 moves you the most for a great moment when a character realizes something?
It's, for me, it's Goodfellas.
Okay.
You know, I mean, when he walks into that room and it's just like, you go from here to there and you know you're done.
Okay.
Yeah.
It is shocking when you watch it.
Oh, it's when you see it the first time, you're like, oh my God.
So I'll say, I think without me knowing Fight Club, I think the other 6 are all very equal-ish. I think they're very, very close. John, which would you say is the best moment when a character realizes something?
It's either Luke, Darth Dad, or Fight Club, the Tyler Durden realization. But I don't know that there was a moment. I don't remember that in Fight Club specifically.
Then that's got to lose some credit.
Yeah. There definitely is a moment when he
realizes. But if he doesn't remember it,
he definitely does.
That might hurt.
For sure he does.
For me, I mean, it was right out the gates. It feels like that was formative for
which
me.
One?
Luke finding out.
Yeah,
Darth
you always
is
say
dad.
Luke. You, I mean, that's a big one.
I mean, I think I can't this, avoid. That. I think it's I feel made strongly.
I think
about
it's
that.
Made worse by. I didn't love the acting of Mark Hamill in that scene. He's screaming no.
But I didn't know it was bad acting in 1983 when I was seeing it. At that moment in time, that changed my life.
I
was
think...
in third grade. It was holy hell.
Well, it was earlier. It was two.
My
three was 83.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So
it's like 80.
I'm in second. I'm
79
in second
or something.
Grade.
80. It was 1980 for Empire.
When I saw that.
James, how do we break this tie?
I was in second.
These two were, I don't know what to do here now.
I don't either. I thought this would be nice and easy.
Yeah.
I think you have to eventually start ruling out Star Wars.
I do too.
Because
okay,
literally,
right.
Just
for
they
him.
Always
so second
do it
place.
Because they know they're going to get you guys.
Well, it's not so, me a little bit, but
John,
I mean, John's automatic.
Yeah.
John's automatic.
So can I go with the Tyler Durden thing? Does that help?
No, it makes it harder if you
Rhea,
yeah.
Rhea, are we going Goodfellas?
I
think Goodfellas is a great answer.
They're all great answers. Congratulations from Friday with the Goodfellas answers, Rob. I think that might have been Rob in South Jersey. Pesci, oh no. He knows he's about to get
just
whacked.
So because it was shocking to me.
Oh, it's stunning.
Guys, I think the answer for today is still out there. I think there's a definitive answer for today.
I definitely have a winner in my head.
I do too.
I wonder if we all have the same one.
The movie has been said in today's show.
Oh, then it's not mine.
James, oh, definitely. That's
James. I don't know if I heard. I don't know.
The movie that I'm thinking it's from has been said on today's show. Just putting that.
I'm pretty sure.
Out there.
Well, I don't know.
All right.
Maybe I missed it.
Let's
that.
Go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Dave is calling from Reading. Hi, Dave.
How you doing, Joe?
Good, buddy.
What a great show today. What a great Monday morning show.
Thank you, sir.
Probably the best I've heard from you guys in a long, long time.
Appreciate that.
Congratulations on your win. I think you need to spin that off into a golf outing. Something for your favorite charity.
Immortalize the day.
Oh my God,
wouldn't that be something?
Well, Dave, let me ask you a question.
June 29th is now Joe DiCamera Day.
Or Jack Meltdown.
Well, Dave, let me ask you a question, Dave. When the Red Sox won that World Series in 04 and Manakevich, whatever that guy's name is, put the ball in his glove. What was his name?
Hold on. Doug, I think it was Manakevich. I think that's
right. Well, put the ball in his glove, and then there was a controversy who had the ball. But the theory is that ball is worth a couple million dollars. Red Sox won a World Series. I am holding this ball. It's a Callaway 1. $100?
No.
$500?
Really? $500?
The question is, what would Jack pay to destroy it? Is the real question, you know?
This could be the beginning of a historical event. That ball could be worth thousands of dollars. In a few years, you just have no idea.
I agree with you on that. Especially
after you become president,
you
know.
Dave, especially after it's... Because if I win this whole thing overall, and I'm not saying I will, time will tell. I tend to think I will, but we'll see. But when I display this thing in perpetuity here at WIP when we do our show, and on YouTube, people can see the ball, value's going to go up.
Put it under glass, man. Put it under glass. I'm telling you, you could raffle that off at your future golf outing 10 years from now for thousands of dollars.
I appreciate that. Yeah. Dave, what do you got What do you got on the Phillies?
Oh, my God. All right, so I got – this is going to blow you guys away, but I got four trades right now, and are you tried and true or are you untested – I'm saying get rid of Painter now. He is your key to a World Series championship. We need another arm. We need another bat. And with Painter, get rid of, oh my gosh. I mean, get rid of our center fielder right now. Jose
Rojas.
Oh my God.
Yeah, Rojas. Well, you're not going to be in the same trade. Let me, before we go any further, Dave, hang on. James, let me ask you a question. Would Andrew Painter, of all Phillies, get you the highest return?
Yeah.
Right? Because of his age?
Yeah, him and Miller are your two
perception
most valuable
of where he's going.
Trade prospects.
So you could get more for Andrew Painter than Bryce Harper?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I think so, too.
Yeah,
I just want to make sure we're on the same page.
Yep.
Okay, I'm with you. I agree with that.
I agree with that 100%. And then while you're at it, add Brandon Marsh, Johan Rojas,
Well, you're just saying, just get rid of those guys. You don't have to add them in a trade. But your point is, use the Painter trade chip and go get an incredible outfielder and a closer. I mean, you should.
Absolutely. This is Dombrowski's chance.
Wow. Imagine that.
To do what the Eagles general manager has done for the Eagles. Wow. This is his time. This is the time to step up.
Interesting. All right, Dave, give me an answer for a regular song that's associated with a movie.
So I'm going to say this one, Hungry Eyes by Eric Carmen.
Yeah, and you're talking about...
Hungry...
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Hungry Carmen in Dirty Dancing.
We got you, bud. Dave, it's a great answer. I mean, Dirty Dan, it's not going to be the winning answer, but it's a great answer for sure. Speaking of answers, let's listen to what Rob Thompson said. This was over the weekend after Andrew Painter's last start. I've lost track of how many he's had, maybe 7 or 8 or so in the minor leagues this year. Here is Topper talking after. I'll say this. It is amazing that the Phillies major league manager keeps giving reports on a Phillies minor league player. There's a case where a manager might not even want to take it on. I appreciate the Rob Thompson. Because, James, wouldn't you say some managers would say...
Yeah, well, I'm not watching him every night. Yeah. I don't want to comment on it. Yeah, for sure.
I think there's some gruff managers who would be like, don't even ask me about that nonsense. But anyway, I don't say nonsense. You know what I mean? Like, if you don't see the guy, it is a little hard to talk about him. But he keeps talking about him. He keeps pitching. And obviously, Rob Thompson gets the reports and minor league reports after every game. Here is what Rob Thompson said about Andrew Painter after his last start.
Well, he was very good early in the game. And he threw, 9 pitches, 99 or above. Velocity's good, spin's good. Early strike throwing ability was good. They grinded on him a little bit, but overall the report was really good. So Thursday we'll try to get that 6th up that he hasn't had yet.
Is that something you need to see before he's up here potentially, is that he's got to get into the 6th? Or
I'd like to see it, yeah. I don't need to see it, but I'd like to see it.
So they're talking about him pitching into the 6th inning. By the way, he gave up 2 earned runs, and I think it was 4 1/3 the other day. I don't think he's going to be up here too soon, but I'll say this. Topper, the way he's talking, makes it sound like it could be sooner than later. He's not pushing back on the concept. And I'll tell you what I also find fascinating, that the information that Topper has off the top of his head is that detailed, which means those, because there's a write-up after every game for minor league coaches that normally, I guess, go to the GM, but probably in this case, because he could come here, it could go directly to the manager also. Like, Rob Thompson he's telling you how he started the game.
Yeah.
And like,
he's very familiar. Right? But, you know, maybe he can see it all right on his iPad, right in the dugout.
Well, I'm sure.
Right before the interview.
I'm sure it's digital.
Absolutely.
But it's just, that level of detail tells me that they're really closely
keeping tabs. About every pitch.
All right.
It's paying off.
More on baseball. Ken Rosenthal over the weekend. So this one, come on, Casty. Come on. Castellanos' defense, you'll remember about 2 weeks ago, there was a huge controversy surrounding his defense. And Ken Rosenthal on Saturday on Fox relayed some information we had not heard about stuff that's transpired over the last week or so with Castellanos defensively. Listen to this.
Well, you guys remember earlier this month, Nick Castellanos was lifted from a game in Miami, made an inappropriate remark to manager Rob Thompson afterward for that. And then Castellanos told the Phillies, hey, I'd like to see my defensive metrics, would like to see what I'm doing wrong. And basically what Nick concluded after seeing those metrics is that he needs to play hard on every play, that no matter what the score is, if it's a blowout one way or the other, he cannot coast because it will ding him on the metrics.
John, that has to really annoy you, right? As a guy that played hard every time I saw you play pro football, that has to really annoy you.
Well, this comes back to something that he said such terrible judgment in that interview.
2023, he said it.
I find it hard to stay, what was it? Sometimes it's hard to stay focused when you're out there in the regular season.
Yeah.
Stunning revelation. You're a professional athlete. You're not a kid in, Pop Warner.
I agree, man.
In Little League. That it was stunning to me then. It's just as stunning now that we're still talking about this guy in such strange capacities.
Yeah,
we're
not
talking
good.
About him in Scooby-Doo. We talk about him in weird ways.
Yeah.
But this was a dumb thing.
I'm not sure it's that simple, by the way, because I still don't think he has the wheels to consistently get where other better right fielders get to. Again,
no way.
Yeah, he doesn't. He catches the ball fine, but it's the...
But it's always slide on your butt because you barely got there.
Exactly.
And you're not usually getting there.
Yeah, I would say that report doesn't exactly shine the best light on Castellanos, particularly, John, as you're saying, based on what he said 2 years ago. Because he said it during 2023, talking about the 2022 playoffs and the 2023 regular season. It's like, come on, man. You're making $100 million. I mean, let's get it together. Let's get to Kyle in Westchester. Kyle, good morning. Yo, Kyle. All right, Kyle is not there. We go to Andy. Andy's calling from Westchester. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, everyone.
What's up, Andy?
I'm a little somber today. I usually just call times yours to rip on Joe, so I figured I'd do it in person today, and then he went and ruined it.
By winning against Jack yesterday?
Sorry to rain on your parade, my man.
Yeah. Well, I'd say Jack did a lot of ruining also. Joe actually played well.
Yeah, I played
Joe
well.
Went out and did what he was supposed to do.
First four holes for sure. I mean, I was hitting it good, and then, but anyway, go ahead, Andy.
Ah, that was pretty much it on that.
Okay.
it's funny. I didn't know that you couldn't get rid of Nola at this point until you said that earlier, Joe. I really would love to hang on to Ranger, but I don't want to lose any of what we've got. I guess if it's going to be anyone, it's Lizardo, because with Sanchez being so young and being as good as he is, I definitely don't want to let him go.
Well, either. And you also have Sanchez locked up through, I think it's 2030, and Lizardo's only locked up through next year. So, and let's be real, there's also an attachment reality. Now, we got to not overdo it with this, but let's be real. Guys that have been here their whole career, we do feel greater attachment to than guys that haven't been. And I'm a big Lizardo fan. I mean, I am. But I'm a bigger Sanchez fan. He's been here the whole time.
Right, and what I look at is with Ranger, it's the injury issues are what you question, but it's
yet. Say that last line. You question the injuries, but what?
It's, with Lizardo, it's the same thing.
It is.
We haven't experienced it here yet.
Correct.
So it's kind of, recency bias, I guess.
I agree with that.
But, I mean, can we do the typical Philly trade offer and say, can we trade all of our slop for an amazing bag?
That'd be great.
We'll give them Rojas. Take Marsh. By the way, we'll throw you Garrett Stubbs from the minor leagues.
Let's throw Joe Ross on there.
We'll throw,
we might need
we'll
him.
Throw in a Taiwan and the Romano. Yeah, give me an all-star outfielder.
It's called the poo-poo platter.
Andy, give me an answer. This is for Adam Sandler tickets, a regular song very closely associated with the movie.
How about Over the Rainbow from Wizard of Oz?
Ding, ding, ding. That's the one I was waiting for.
So that wasn't my answer.
That's a huge answer.
That is
a
big.
That's not my answer either.
But it is so directly tied in.
No, it's huge. It's massive.
It's massive. All right. LeBron's been a massive player in pro basketball. Will he get traded? Maybe. I'd say it's probably about a 50% chance he gets traded. Shams was on ESPN over the weekend. Very interesting development. With the Lakers and the league, and it could tie into the Sixers and the Eastern Conference. It's got a lot of ramifications. Here's Shams. Remember, LeBron is opting into his $53 million final year of his deal. Here's Shams.
I'm told he wants to compete for a championship next season, and he is uncertain about the Lakers roster moving forward. And my understanding is James is supportive of the Lakers positioning themselves around Luka Doncic, building for the future. And Rich Paul told me this morning, the Clutch Sports CEO, that the Lakers have been true partners of his and LeBron James for 8 seasons while he's been there. But as we see right there, he also told me the franchise is going to do what's best for them. They understand that they have to do what's best for the long term. And this adds an interesting wrinkle here in free agency. LeBron James is evaluating how he wants to finish his career.
These type of reports don't surface unless a guy is angling to possibly get out. I mean, really. I mean, we've seen the NBA. We have followed John the bouncing ball enough to know tea leaves say he could get traded. Now, listen, there's also an argument this is just public posturing for pressure on the Lakers. And my 100% suspicion is that he prefers to play for the Lakers if they align things the way he wants it. But it sounds like he knows they're not going to do that. And so, how about the Knicks? Would they
come on? Come on.
I'm just asking, man.
I mean, that's the roadblock for him in the East. Yeah, I'm sure he looks at that as the team that's going to stand
in his way. What about for Bridges? What about if you're the Knicks? Would you trade Bridges for LeBron? And if you're the Lakers, would you trade LeBron for Bridges?
I would if I'm the Lakers.
Poor Mikal Bridges, man.
If you're the Lakers, so James, you're 100%. Saying if you're the Lakers, you would trade LeBron for Bridges.
Yeah. I mean, he's younger.
I tend to agree, but Bridges also isn't great.
No.
He's very good, but he's not great.
Yeah,
and he's got a big contract.
He's really...
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, it's... There's a lot of interest. By the way, James, one more for you and Rhea. You too, because... no, I'm sorry, James, you were here. Rhea and John.
The Knicks will never...
You guys weren't here on Friday when I brought this up. After the draft, I brought this up on Friday. So, Rhea, tell me who would make the trade and who would not make the trade. Because there was so much controversy after Luka was traded and, you know, the Mavs fans freaked out.
Yep.
Rightfully so. And then they got the number one pick and they got Cooper Flagg.
It was like they traded him for Cooper.
All right, Rhea, would the Dallas Mavericks trade Cooper Flagg for Luka? And would the Lakers trade Luka for Cooper Flagg?
The Lakers would do it. The Mavericks would not.
I agree with you.
Because the Mavericks were sick of him not being in shape. I mean, they made it very clear to people.
Yeah.
And apparently, now I'm reading about how in shape he is getting this offseason.
Not or is.
No, apparently is.
Oh, good for him.
And also Flagg's 18.
I know.
He's young. So young.
Right.
Luka's 25. But, I mean, you do have a runway with Luka still for a while. I mean, he's
25.
He's only 25.
Amazing. That's amazing.
But the irony is they actually have enough to probably be able to get Luka back, and they would probably now say no.
Yeah, they would, because they're starting, and they got this kid.
Yeah, I mean, I know as a Sixers fan, I'd rather have 18-year-old Cooper Flagg than 25-year-old Luka. But, I mean, it could go either way. I mean, let's not act like, I mean, Cooper, like Zion Williamson was supposed to be great, and the guy, you know, guy never plays. And we can't act like, you know, Cooper Flagg is...
His injury history, I mean, the way in which he played college.
Which player?
Cooper? Zion.
Zion.
You could tell. It's like Brace with his swing. You know, some players just play violent.
When he went through his shoe, I never seen that before.
No. I go, how did it not break?
I never in my whole life have seen that.
Up the middle, here's a swing and a high fly ball. Left center field, it's deep. Harris in the gap on the run, looking up, and that ball is gone! And Otto Kemp has hit his first big league home run. It's a 3-run home run for Otto Kemp. And the Phillies with 8 on the board tonight here in the first 2-plus innings in Atlanta. And what a difference a day can make.
Well, you're not kidding. From Thursday to Friday, Phil's bats non-existent in the Houston series, and then came alive on Friday. Congrats to Otto Kemp on his first homer. Obviously had a big impact on yesterday's game with a double down the right field line, at left field line. And he's going to keep getting playing time, even when Bryce gets back, I certainly think. So it does bring up an interesting possibility, though, when Bryce comes back, where do you play him and how do you play him? And left field has been discussed. Ruben Amaro talked on his podcast over the weekend about the possibility of Otto Kemp to left field. And Ruben signs off on it. I mean, you got to see if he can, you know, field it all out there, which he's not barely ever done in his life. But if you listen to Ruben, you can tell, based on the likelihood that they can't make two big trades, like one for an outfielder and one for a relief pitcher, you can tell Ruben leans in the direction of trade for the relief pitcher, put Otto Kemp in left. Here's Ruben.
They're going to have to give up a lot to get this reliever. And they don't have a lot to give up. If this guy can play left field well enough so that they can platoon he and Kepler out there, I got to believe they're going to continue to put their eggs in that bullpen basket. That is a far more important piece of the pie.
And by the way, one thing I'll clarify, we'll talk to Ruben tomorrow, but when he says they don't have a lot to give up, I think that's him saying that they want to give. Like,
they don't want to give it up.
They're not going to trade Andrew Painter for, you know what I'm saying? Like
the GM in him speaking.
Yeah, no, it was. I mean, he's like, look, I mean, look, you could make 4 trades if you wanted to, but you don't want to trade all these dudes away. So, John, I got to believe Kemp to left field is a viable option. And then that's
how he is deceptively, jaunty. Like he can move a little bit. More than
when you see him run, you mean?
Yeah.
Base pass. Yeah,
yeah,
he's
got speed.
Yeah, I agree
on
with
the
that.
Base pass.
Yeah.
So I can imagine he could make that transition pretty easier than some because he's got the speed to get to the ball.
I think, James, what did he play? About 10 games in the minor leagues in left field? Something like that?
Not many.
I think.
Yeah, it was like seven, I think. Yeah. It was single digits. Yeah.
Well, what'll be interesting is if they send him back to the minors to keep playing left field down there after Bryce gets back so that he doesn't butcher left field up here. Do it for 20 or 30 games, come back.
Just get reps to get some of the, I don't know, angles and just
That would be my guess. Speaking of young players, Flyers with two first-round draft picks over the weekend. Porter Martone, sixth overall pick from the Ontario Hockey League, a winger, in 37 goals this past year. So it doesn't sound like it sounds like he probably will not start with the Flyers and may get up at some point this year, meaning this upcoming year. My guess is probably not, based on the way Danny Briere framed it, but maybe. I mean, we'll see. And then a few picks after that with the 12th pick. The Flyers got a center, Jack Nesbitt, and this is a center that had 25 goals this past year. So what the Flyers gave up was the 22nd and 31st overall pick for the 12th pick in the draft. They traded two first-rounders for one. All right, let's go back. Quickly, I just want to say a couple of thank yous related to our golf from yesterday. So first off, thank you to Jaws. I mean, it's a Jaws course, Riverwinds. Jaws has, I believe it's 8 area golf courses. So thank you to Jaws, obviously.
That's all? He has 8?
Exactly. 8. And they're all great, by the way.
No,
they're beautiful
are.
Courses. Yep. So shout out to Jaws. We love Jaws. We'll get him on the show sometime soon to talk some Eagles. Tucker Bagley from WIP did an unbelievable job filming a lot of it. A lot. And there's going to be a compilation. It's all going to be broken down into a couple minutes, a compilation video that will be out later today. I don't know the exact time, but look on WIP's Twitter account for a video, and it'll be very, James, how much do you think he will show Fritz's meltdown within his meltdown? Meaning there was the golf shot meltdown, but then there was the personality meltdown.
I think he'll probably put a touch of it in there without overdoing it. You got to tell the story of what happened, right?
What happened?
So, I mean, I'm saying if you're going to the story, you got to tell the story.
I mean, he let out an F-bomb at one point that was so loud. Now, that can't be, it's not going to be on our video unless they bleep it. I mean, he let out an F-bomb that was so loud. And then at the very end, when he lost, when he conceded the final hole, I mean, it was so over. I didn't have my head turned to where he was, but I heard a thump, John. I don't know if he hit the golf. Right. I don't know if he hit the
you said it was very
golf
loud.
Cart. It was very loud. Like he might have hit the golf cart
with
or
his club.
Maybe I just heard a thud that was loud.
So
I don't know what it was.
Were other golfers like craning their necks,
couple
like trying
times.
To take a look, like what the heck is going on?
Well,
over
not
there?
Not with that, but I'll say a few times people were asking for the score. I wouldn't tell anybody the score. Now Ike at one point said, "Oh, Joe's up," and I'm like, "Ike, we're not supposed to tell anybody." Like, come on, man.
Did you ever drive the ball in the wrong direction?
No, not yesterday. I did that one time before. That wasn't good.
Well, that's still pretty bad.
It's in my bag, so to speak. And the final shout out, and this one's important. Shout out to the head golf pro from Riverwinds. His name is Vince. Great guy. Obviously, he's a hell of a golfer to be the head golf pro at Riverwinds. And he was my caddy. Really helped me beforehand and during hand.
That was brilliant.
Thanks, Rhea.
That's some brilliant.
I agree. That was
you.
Really smart.
Thanks.
I have to say,
Rhea, tomorrow I will give you my. Because I have 8 reasons written down why I think I won.
Oh, only 8?
Only 8.
You wrote them down.
I did. They all.
There were only 10 holes.
We'll get to it tomorrow. But trust me when I. Because, James, you know, one of my things was commitment. You don't have to. It's not just about. Well, first of all, it's not just about who's better. And it's not just about wanting to win. It's about going the extra mile to win.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, let me seek out. The head golf pro of Riverwinds and have him be, because no one's going to know the greens.
It was smart.
Better than the head golf
really
pro of Riverwinds.
Right? Credit where due, man. It was smart.
And Fritz wasn't
thinking that.
He wasn't thinking like that. Anyway.
Yeah,
But everybody look out for Fritz today from 2 to 6. Help him out, you know, because he's obviously going to need some verbal hugs.
I'm sure that's coming.
So call in. Be supportive of him.
I'm sure his co-host will give him verbal hugs.
I'm just saying, be supportive of our guy. He's a nice kid. He's a good. He's just got to learn a little respect for elders. That's all I'm saying. This was what I said from the beginning. You like
that? That was patronizing.
Yeah. Oh,
I love
it.
So patronizing.
So good.
Right there.
All right, Rick. But all jokes aside, thank you to Vince. Vince, God bless you, dude. Made a tremendous difference And he's the head golf pro of Riverwinds, and I want to thank him. All right, Rick and Easton. Hi, Rick.
Caddies do matter. Congratulations. And golf was the one competition you thought you were toasted.
I did.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, I thought I had a very slim chance, but very slim. Yeah.
Great job.
Thank you.
So, you know, my hat's off to the callers. That I love when you guys have to take a weekend to give a winner to the side topic.
Yeah, it's fun.
I was a little partial to, I don't know why, Sonny Corleone, realizing he was toast in the causeway, wasn't even in that top seven, but whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I'll tell you, I'm starting to believe that we really do micromanage this Phillies team, and we don't watch the other teams as closely. The Yankees went 29 innings. My wife brought this to my attention. The Yankees went 29 innings against the Angels, not scoring a run. The Mets got swept by the Pirates, but not only swept, they were crushed.
Rick, you're talking one of my contentions. I bring this up fairly frequently, that we dwell more on the negatives with the Phillies than we know about the negatives of the other teams. The other teams,
hold on,
when they
lose, you don't apply this to the Eagles,
to the quarterback of the Eagles.
You refuse to see the truth with the Eagles football
team.
It's
an interesting perspective.
You're saying you apply this to baseball. Why not to football?
I think I do to football.
No, you don't.
Okay.
That's the whole point.
That's fine. That's what you think. That's fine.
Come on.
That's fine. Go ahead, Rick.
Even though we look so anemic offensively against the Pirates and the Astros, I agree with Rhea and John. You know this. The O-line is the most important part of a football team. So is starting pitching. And I want to tell you something. I don't know if they're going to make any of these blockbuster moves people think they can make. You know, you have the best starting pitching. You know, no division leader is way ahead of the rest of the pack, which typically happens. You know, we have we need home run power. So just to touch on this, Schwarber can't go anywhere in a league with home runs because he's our only power hitter. We have Abel, we have Nola, Lizardo, Painter as options to go into the bullpen. You know, unless we can really add a Hoskins or a Rooker, a power hitter on the right side, they're not touching Crawford, Miller, and Painter. I think that shit sailed. I don't know if this team's going to make a lot of changes, guys.
Well, based on the last 3 years, they haven't, so maybe they won't again. Look, Rick, I think at the very least you'll get a minor move or two. I think you'll definitely get a reliever. The question is how good. You may get an outfielder. You probably will. Again, the question is how good. Remember, last year was Austin Hayes. Who was the guy the year before that?
Whit Merrifield?
Well, he was signed at the start of the year.
That's right, he was signed.
I thought there was a guy 2 years ago. I mean, 3 years ago was Brandon Marsh.
It was Marsh, yeah. There was a guy. Oh, my God, I'm blanking on it.
But the point is, Rick, they have made moves that are like C-level moves in the last couple of years.
There's my point. You guys are the best, and you can't even remember who they got. That's why I'm thinking, can Kirkland and Strom hold the back end of that bullpen? I don't know. They may just stay pat. Let me give you my answer, because I know you have people waiting.
Sure.
In the Breakfast Club, don't you forget about me, my simple mind.
This was my answer.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Had it waiting.
And, James, your argument is it's so closely associated.
Every time I hear this song, I go like this. I stick my fist up in the air. Every single time I hear it.
Yeah. Okay.
I have a different one.
Okay.
I think it's time for me to give mine, man.
Go for it.
Stuck in the Middle
with
You.
Was the
Steelers' Wheel.
Yeah.
I had that one.
Reservoir Dogs?
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a big
Steelers
one, too.
Steelers' Wheel. I mean, that song, I'd never
had
heard that
too.
Song often prior to this movie.
Yeah.
Holy cow, and it exploded with that scene.
Well, it was a famous song beforehand, but it went to another level. And I will say it's so closely associated with that scene in that movie.
Yeah. I mean, he's
pouring gasoline down the guy's ear.
Cuts the guy's ear off.
And puts gasoline down there.
This song has become disturbing to me because of
what
the association.
Saw. Correct.
Which is pretty dark.
No, both are big answers. By the way, Ruben's the audio we played of Ruben earlier, I meant to say from his podcast, the Phillies show. By the way, we'll have Ruben on the show tomorrow. So Ruben tomorrow, Ben Davis on Thursday. 4th of July coming up. Imagine that.
No.
Fast approaching.
It's crazy. June flew by.
Yeah, it really did. Fast approaching. All right, let's get to the Twitter poll question of the day and close it out. Twitter poll is brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin Chevrolet. Wishing the entire Delaware Valley a happy and safe 4th of July. Armin Chevrolet, closer than you think. Together, let's drive. Poll question, are you pleased with the Phillies' first half of the season? Yes or no? How do you think people responded, John?
Because pleased is used in not happy, I'm going to say it's a much larger number. So like 71%.
61% say they're pleased.
Huh.
James Seltzer, follow-up question. If the Phillies bullpen blew that game yesterday, and they almost did.
Yeah, great question.
What would the poll results have been?
I think it's reversed. I think it's like 60-40 the other way.
Isn't that wild? One game.
It's crazy.
One game. All right, let's do what we do every day at this time.
The time is yours.
Can't wait.
Unlike everyone else, we actually check our voicemail. Tell us what you want to say. The time is yours.
Time's yours.
All right, time's yours. Thank you, Andy Reid. Time's yours is brought to us by Xfinity Mobile, the sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge. The Wi-Fi is booming. Unlock faster, secure speeds at home and on the go only from Xfinity Mobile. Let's hit it with time's
yours. Yeah, yesterday the Fritz was on the Fritz. And the hammer was the hammer. That's how you do, Joe. Congratulations, buddy.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
Wow. I don't know who should be more embarrassed. Spike and Ike or Jack or all the Fritz supporters who thought the camera wouldn't even win one event. Congrats on the win, Hammer.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that greatly.
Joe, great job this weekend. So proud of you. I've been rooting for you from the beginning. Very bad about John Ritchie. You got to get on board. John, he's your co-worker. How are you not rooting for him? Go Hammer.
Oh, thank you.
Jack's my co-worker also, isn't he?
Well, I think she meant to emphasize co-host, but thank you.
Joe may have won the battle, but I don't know about his chance in the war. He might have just unwoken the bear. That is Jack Fritz. The 4-1 for Jack Fritz's incoming. Take shelter, pal.
Possible. Hey, listen, I
wouldn't that be something?
I grant that. Like, here's the thing.
I hope that's the case.
Well, I thought of the three big Philadelphia sports wins this century in a game one. Game one, 2001 finals, AI goes for 48. Sixers did lose the next four. 2009, Cliff Lee,
You're
Yankee Stadium.
You're lumping this in?
Yeah, this is going to be number four, but I got to go the other way. 2009, game one, Cliff Lee dominates Yankee Stadium. Phillies lose four of the next five. 2022, Phillies Astros. JT hits the homer. Phillies come back and win 6-5. Lose four of the next five.
A common theme here.
So I'm trying to hold off and not letting that happen again. This is more like an 08 Phils. 83 Sixers. And with that sweet victory, we shut it down.
The Time's Yours line. Leave Joe and John a message of your thoughts, compliments,
you know I'm
and
really,
complaints.
It's taken a lot for me to say.
You are very reserved. It's been very impressive.
I follow remember Kobe that one year?
You're just like Kobe.
Someone was asking why he wasn't happier when they had a 2-0 lead in the NBA Finals. He goes, job not done.
That's right.
And he goes, job done? No. Job not done.
There you go.
That's the way I feel. But everyone, make sure you check out Fritz today at 2 o'clock because
Give him some love. Talk about radio.
Yeah, okay?
Talk about it really will.
I'm going to wake up from my nap early just so I can tune in.
I have my alarm set for 157, 158, and 159 because sometimes I'll forget why I set my alarm.
Yeah.
But if I do it three straight times, I'll know to check my calendar for what is there.
Oh, my God. I do the same exact
thing. 157, 158, 159.
If I put it in three times around the same time, I've had something scheduled.
Something really matters. And what matters for me at 3 o'clock, at 2 o'clock, is to listen to the start of their show. All right, let's go to Kyle in Westchester. Kyle, good morning.
Hey, guys, I'm back. Sorry I missed you earlier.
Nope, no worries, my man. All right, move fast. We gotta go kind of fast. What do you got?
For sure. I think you're underselling how much of a meltdown that was. I was there yesterday to witness. I'm Kyle, the marketing manager for Ron Jaworski Golf. So I witnessed this firsthand, and it was more than a meltdown. I don't know what the word is, but it was bad.
So really? More than a meltdown.
Really?
A meltdown's pretty bad.
This is Chernobyl. So give me a little more. So when he got to that hill and the brush and the whole deal, the fescue, it was... I mean, he was there in three, and he did not emerge until 12. I actually never seen anything like it in my whole life. I mean that.
Have you witnessed anything like that, Kyle? Because you're around golf every day.
I have not. I mean, I'm Team Fritz. We're both part of a Bloomsburg Husky Pack, but to find the creek twice on the same hole on 10 at Riverwinds is tough. And watching him try and escape hurt to witness, but, you know, he'll bounce back. I'm not worried about that.
We'll see about that. Kyle, how about when the ball was bouncing on the bridge, bouncing, and finally went over? Like, it was astounding. It really was, man.
If you've played Riverwinds, you know that 10th hole is pretty tough. And his approach shot kind of went towards 11 tee box, and then he was in a tough spot, took the drop. There was some controversy there.
Yep.
Vince gave us a nice rolling on that. Had a few re-tees or tried to drop it four times. And
I even let him re-drop at one point because he dropped and it rolled back into the fescue. Then he dropped from his shoulder. Then he dropped, but we didn't count that one, John. Then he dropped forward. I mean, he was
took the practice swing and moved the ball. Don't forget that.
Well, so I didn't see that the ball moved, but I did see that he swung and missed.
Yes, but there was no attempt to hit the ball, so it didn't count. That was that's where Vince came in and kind of provided some insight and helped us out there.
No, I don't even remember that.
No
anyway,
attempt to hit the ball. That sounds like he's not upholding
one of them counted because he had a swing and miss that did count. All right, Kyle, we quickly got to move. Give me, and I appreciate you being there and your help. Give me a song associated with a movie.
You'll Be in My Heart by Phil Collins.
You got it, buddy. Kyle, good seeing you, meeting you yesterday. Appreciate you calling the show. Guys, we got to come up with a winning answer. So here's what we got. Lose Yourself, 8 Mile. I Will Always Love You, Bodyguard. Over the Rainbow, Wizard of Oz. Breakfast Club, Don't You Forget About Me.
I'm voting for Breakfast Club. That was my winner coming in.
Yeah.
Because I'm voting for Over the Rainbow.
I think, I don't want to tie this up. I think it's 8 Mile. I think it's Lose Yourself.
Okay, well, then that's fine. Then Breakfast Club wins. Okay. I mean, it is very closely associated with the movie. I don't think anything is associated with the movie more than Over the Rainbow, and I think Rhea and Seltzer did Andy the Caller dirty, but that's their choice. He did him dirty. All right, well, the winning answer is Rick, just because James had it in his mind before the show started. Bad answer. Listen, remember this. Everyone thought Fritz was going to win this competition before the competition started. Sometimes it doesn't work out that way.
I now doubt if he has.
I think that's a one-to-one analogy.
All right, everyone, have a wonderful rest of the day. Make sure you listen at 2 o'clock to Spike, Ike, and Babon.